AWK Mobile.
4HKX Mobile. Hey, Dave.
Coming in really solid. Are you down here in the valley? Are you still up there in the mountains?
We're in the mountains still. Not far from the house.
Between you and the repeater, then. Because it sounded good. Sounded like you're down here in the valley.
Away from the QTH where I was right up against the mountain. I'm just out on one of the roads now where you're down in the actual valley.
The weekend yet?
Heard I'm enjoying the weekend. How about you?
Well, I love to do the most on my free time. Write code.
Writing code for now.
Projects. Catching up on old stuff that I didn't do while I was working. Didn't have any round to it back then, and now I got some round to it.
I know how that goes.
Looking into going over there and flying. I'm looking at the tops of the trees out here, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of movement.
A little low up here, so, I mean, it'd probably be a good day for it.
Battery's charged already, too. You know, when we did nitro, methane, and alcohol, and castor oil, we didn't have to worry about charging. But, well, we had nickel-cadmium batteries, or nickel-metal hydride batteries that had to be charged, but you usually charge those once every other month. You didn't really have to worry about them. But my, how things change.
And it seems like everything is going to lithium, some kind of a lithium battery anymore.
I thought we might get to electric one day. I never thought that we would get to electric to the point to where I could go vertical and increase speed as I was climbing, you know, up to like 120 miles an hour going straight up, like I could with nitro. I could do that with a tuned pipe and 60% nitro methane and 40% alcohol and some oil in there. I can get you boosted up there in a hurry. I never did think I would be able to do that with electric, but I can.
Them things are moving on, and I didn't realize they were going that fast.
The lower end. That's the low end. There's some of them. Well, there's some of them that go well over 500 miles an hour, and they don't even have an engine or a motor, either one of them in it. They're gliders. They go up and down the side of a mountain. And, you know, they'll be up the whole mountain and down the whole mountain in less than a whole second. It's just whoosh, 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 whoosh. From the top of the mountain to the bottom of the mountain, just like that, that fast.
I just didn't realize that, I guess. Just never really thought about it.
It's amazing once you get into stuff like that. The boats, when I went up to watch Jimmy one time at a race over in Donaldson Center when they had a lake over there, it's just impressive what they can do with those boats, too. I don't know if they've done the same thing with electricity that we've been able to do with airplanes, but I imagine they have because, you know, they've got all that water. They can keep it cool, so they can push it harder because they can keep it cool better.
After that, I noticed Traxxas has got some pretty nice speed boats on their site, and they got some speed out of them. There's some of them running 60 and 70 mile an hour on water out of an electric boat.
Keep those things from going airborne, you know. The slightest little bump, and you got a lot of bumps on water, especially if it's a little bit windy. You get a little bit of air up underneath that hole, and away she goes.
That, I don't see how they keep real boats from doing it as fast as they're going. And some of the maneuvers I see some of those race boats make is just wild. The G's they got to be impacting their bodies in those turns is just incredible.
That hole comes back down, you know, and hits that next wave. Because when you hit water going that fast, it's like hitting concrete. You know, it's not like they got a wheel that can roll across it. That's just, they're skidding on it. And you, at that speed, that water turns into a solid.
How water does that to me, it's pretty impressive that how water reacts to force against it.
About that when he was teaching me how automatic transmissions work and the torque converter and how the fluid turns into a solid once it gets up to a certain RPM, and then they are locked and there's no unlocking them until you reduce the RPM. You can't do it, but they'll just switch around as much as you want, and when you're idle But once you get that speed up, you can't unlock them.
Same thing there. That turbine that exerts that force on that fluid when it starts spinning is just incredible. And the amount of weight that we've been able to make it move now is just amazing.
YouTube videos where they have at the wrecking yards where they'll dismantle an earth mover, and they've got this big clamp that uses hydraulics, and they'll drop it down over the main rails that lift the bucket, for example, on a backhoe or something like that, and they'll just start squeezing it. They'll just pinch that thing right in two. I don't know, that's kind of mesmerizing for me to watch.
It is. You're probably thinking of it like I am, the amount of force and the mechanical advantages you got to have to do that, to cut through steel that way. It is amazing that we can just take a pump and drive fluid and make it cut like that.
Oh, they're doing that with, I think, about as big as a house. How that crane lifts that thing up off the ground, that's just a feat, too. It's engineering just, you know, opens all kind of avenues that would never otherwise be possible. I think it's an appreciation for engineering.
It is. I guess with my background and yours, it's just the way your mind works on stuff like that, and it just...
CB operator, roger that.
I've learned to use certain things and the advantages and the engineering that goes into it. I mean, you take a simple water jet machine that can cut steel with water just by putting it under pressure.
Hey, W, I saw those when they first came out when I was working at Michelin. I think somebody else is wanting in there. Go ahead. Been on the wrong frequency, Patrick. Somebody talked while you were talking, and they sound like they were a lot closer to the repeater than you or me. But they may have been on the wrong frequency because they sounded like they were already in a conversation.
Trying to give them a pause there to come on in. Last thing I want to do is hog it up where nobody else can get in the conversation. But we all get guilty of quick keying sometimes.
That is so easy to do. I try to be disciplined about that, but you get thinking, you know, our minds are only capable of so much bandwidth.
Roger that. It takes a lot of determination to not quick key the mic when you're in a conversation, that's for sure, especially when you get a round table going.
Things that will help you with that is to use EchoLink, because it forces you to wait. And that wait seems like an eternity until you get used to it. Steve and I used to talk, the guy up in South Dakota, we used to talk on EchoLink, on not going through a repeater, just direct, EchoLink to EchoLink. And you still have to have patience with it. It's not like a full duplex telephone conversation.
Or HKX. And the same thing with your cell phone. You got to remember it. It's a lot the same way. You have to take some pauses in there when you're talking. Otherwise, you're talking over people. And I've noticed a lot of people make that mistake on those.
Patrick, I'm almost destinated, so I got to jump out. But if you're still there when I get back, I'll pick it up again. KO4HKX, W4DJW.
And I'm where I'm at. I got to run in here to the store right quick, and then I'll be back out. KO4HKX, I'm clear for now. 73. 4HKX, mobile.
QLG, KO4QLG, KI4DOS.
KB2HXS mobile listening.